Before we turn to the wonderful canticles of these Anuim women, Hannah and the Blessed Mother, I'd like to make a little reflection on calendars. Yesterday was the winter solstice. I know it doesn't make a huge difference here in the Philippines, but it is a significant astronomical phenomenon that it's the shortest day of the year, longest night of the year. Actually, the solstice, the precise moment was last night, 11:06. So about 8-9 hours ago. That's when the tilt of the Earth was, at least of the northern North Pole, was away from the sun. That's why it's shortest day. But it's a little bit quirky when it comes to the actual date and then the times. Someone sent me an article about this, and I'm not sure I can figure it out. But even though it's the shortest day of the year, it's not the latest that the sun rises, because the calendar, Gregorian calendar, doesn't match exactly the astronomical phenomenon. And then the time of day is a little bit arbitrary too, like when exactly is midnight. And so the clock time is one thing, calendar time is another thing, astronomical time is another thing. So it's a little bit complicated. Anyway, that's good to know what the Lord is doing in the cosmos. But we follow another calendar, we follow the liturgical calendar, and even though it's rich and it's wonderful, it's also a little bit quirky this time of year, the liturgical calendar, something like the Gregorian calendar and the astronomical calendar, especially in this week and next week, the end of Advent and much of Christmas. It's hard to exactly figure it all out. So in the last part of Advent, the last 8 days, the last octave of Advent, you know, it's this season of the O Antiphons, 8 days, and the first 2 days we take the Gospel from Matthew, then 6 days we take the Gospel from Luke. Matthew, first the genealogy, then the story of Joseph. Then when we get to Luke, Luke's Gospel is set up with this beautiful two-part system. There's the Annunciation to Zechariah, Annunciation to Mary, then the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of Jesus. Of course, we reserve the birth of Jesus to the Christmas season. So, and then in between these two annunciations and two births, there's this meeting point of the two miracles, the visitation. The two pregnant women meet, the two unborn children meet. That's like the center of the whole story. Anyway, so in the last 6 days of Advent, you've got Annunciation to Zechariah, Annunciation to Mary, then the Visitation, which is stretched into 2 days, the meeting of Mary Elizabeth, and then the Magnificat, which is today, and then the birth of John the Baptist stretched into 2 days, first his birth, and then the Canticle of Zechariah. That's how it all works if you follow the dates. But the Sunday cycle doesn't follow that, so it breaks into it. On Sunday, we had the story of Joseph again. We read from the Gospel of Matthew. So we didn't read the story of the Visitation. That's why it might strike someone who's following the daily liturgy as a little odd that all of a sudden Mary's proclaiming the praises of the Lord, when last time we heard of her, she was still in Nazareth. So we missed the Visitation because it happened to, December 21st happened to fall on a Sunday. And this is, Sundays follow a different cycle. We're in cycle A. Cycle A favors the Gospel according to Matthew. So we took Matthew's story about Joseph. Well, it's even stranger if you're following the Simbanga B Novena and if you're going to the evening masses. Because this is what happened. I had a Simbanga B Mass last night in one of the chapels. So, of course, it was Sunday. We did the Sunday Gospel. It was about Joseph. And the lector told me, well, we had Joseph yesterday, because on Saturday evening was already the Sunday reading, so they had Joseph on Saturday as well, meaning they never got the story of the Annunciation, which was on Saturday, the Golden Mass. They didn't get the Golden Mass, because they had their Mass in the evening. And then on Sunday, none of us got the story of the Visitation, because it was Sunday. So they had Joseph on Thursday, they had Joseph on Saturday, they had Joseph on Sunday, and then tonight they'll have Mary's Magnificat. So that, I think that's fine. I even said in my homily to that chapel, I said, well, maybe the Lord wants you to ponder Joseph. the gospel about Joseph, three out of 4 days. Well, let's take a look at the beautiful readings today. As I said, these are the two Anoim women. In this case, we're not focusing on Elizabeth and Mary, but Hannah and Mary, both of whom have these songs of praise of the Lord. Hannah, who was barren, prayed for a child, and the Lord granted her a child, the great prophet Samuel. Mary wasn't barren, but she was a virgin. I don't know if she was praying for a child, but the Lord offered her to be the mother of the Son of God, and she said yes. And so she gives her canticle while she's still pregnant. Hannah sings her canticle after, well, I think it's 3 years after the birth of Samuel. So here, the canticle is actually what we in the liturgy inserted into the place of the responsorial psalm. So the first reading tells us that Hannah brought Samuel to the temple, and then in the Bible, it's there where she sings this canticle, "My heart exalts in the Lord, my horn is exalted in my God." It's a kind of precursor to Mary's canticle. What's going on here? Hannah is expressing her praise of the Lord, her gratitude to the Lord for granting her a child, and she's also dedicating that child to the Lord. It says here that I in turn give him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be dedicated to God, dedicated to the Lord. She left Samuel there. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't really say she left Samuel there. I don't know why this translation comes up with this weird expression. It makes it sound like she abandoned her three-year-old son. In the Bible, as far as I looked at, it says he worshipped the Lord there. It implies that he stayed there, yes, because Samuel did stay in the temple, but he wasn't abandoned by his mother. He was dedicated to the Lord. You see the difference? So what Hannah's doing here is she's receiving the gift, she's giving praise and thanks to God for the gift, and she's using the gift for the glory of God, which is what we're all supposed to do with every gift. Every gift comes from the Lord. We receive the gift, we give thanks to God, we praise Him, we use the gift for His purposes. Now, it's easy to see that in a material gift. Oh, I have this money, I have this food, I'll use it for good. It's a little harder with a child, because a child's a human person, and mothers especially are quite possessive of their young sons. So it's a very... It died. Why did it die? Has a battery, right? So he's dead too. Maybe the system is down. One of them. Hello? No, it's turned off now. Okay, I don't know what's happening. Anyway, the point is that it's hard for a mother to be deeply loving of a child and at the same time decide that child is belongs to the Lord. So it's an example of it, because it's very right to be dedicated to the good of children. It's bad to be too possessive. It doesn't mean we abandon our children in temples, but we do dedicate them to the Lord. We raise them for the glory of God so that they can fulfill the will of God for them, whatever it might be. So she praises the Lord. Now, Mary, of course, is the even greater example. Her child isn't even born yet. But what happens here, now we didn't get the story of the visitation yesterday, but you know it. Elizabeth praises Mary. "Blessed are you among women," she says. "Who am I that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" I mean, Elizabeth gives Mary very high praise, really honors her. And that's what gives Mary the opportunity to praise the Lord. Now, maybe she had in her heart this kind of praise of God all the time. I mean, we don't have any record of her praising the Lord in in Nazareth, but in her heart, she was praising the Lord. But when someone speaks out, hey, you're blessed among women, and she seems to feel, I don't know if it's a need or just an opportunity to speak out what was in her heart. And she speaks out, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Yet you call me great? Okay, that's because of the greatness of the Lord. If you want to honor the gift given to me, well then join me in praising the Lord. It's a great example of how to acknowledge a great gift without becoming focused on ourselves. I made a passing reference to this in my message that I put in our commemorative booklet for our 50th anniversary. I said, how do we praise the Lord? How do we make a great celebration of the golden anniversary without making it sound like we're boasting? Oh, how great we are and how we've accomplished so much in 50 years. Well, the answer is how Mary does it. Acknowledge the gift, yes, great gift, thanks be to God. But then put the focus on the Lord and say, he's the one who gives the gift and he's the one who should be praised. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. I'm not rejoicing in myself and my own accomplishments. So that's the Anuim way of praising the Lord. Even when she says, from this day, all generations will call me blessed, which sounds to us like a lot of boasting, she's saying, the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, Mary's name is also holy, but she doesn't say that. But she does acknowledge, all generations will call me blessed, not because of my greatness, but because of the greatness of what the Lord has done for me. So it's boasting in the Lord, it's an expression St. Paul uses, boasting in the Lord, which is very different from just ordinary boasting. Ordinary boasting, which is to focus on ourselves and to proclaim our own greatness, is rather ugly. Sometimes it's for people boast out of just for the fun of it. Like I remember Muhammad Ali used to boast a lot, but he was an entertainer. He was a sports figure and he was boasting about being the greatest and the greatest. And he could get away with it because he had that kind of personality and he was a great athlete. The most prominent boaster in the world of our time right now is definitely President Trump of the United States. I mean, you have to acknowledge he's an extraordinary boaster. And he frequently, if not daily, proclaims himself the greatest president in American history. And he has single-handedly made the United States better than it has ever been. Now, I don't know, he seems to believe it, but all that kind of hyperbole and all that kind of focus on himself is quite distasteful from a Christian perspective. Setting aside his political achievements or whatever, I'm not getting into the politics. I'm just getting into the personal boasting. That's not a Christian approach to talk about how great I am and all my great achievements. That's not what Mary does here. She boasts in the Lord, how great God is, how much God has done for me, how merciful. And then she, after acknowledging that she's received a great gift, and she praises him, and that she's blessed because of him, she drops herself out of the canticle and starts focusing only on the Lord and on his ways. He has mercy on those who fear him. He has shown strength with his arm. He has cast down the mighty. He has filled the hungry. He has come to the help of his servant. It's all focused on the Lord. It's a great hymn of praise. With a special awareness that God's way of dealing with things is to humble the proud and raise up the lowly. This is what God does all the time. Now, if we don't like it, that means we're really proud. And proud people don't like being humble. But it's the great way God expresses his love for us. He humbles us in our pride. Say he levels the mountains of our pride. And when we are down, when we're discouraged, when we're feeling so unworthy, we're sinners, he lifts us up, fills in the valley. Very beautiful. I have a sense in this Advent season, of course I hear a lot of confessions in Advent, and I think I have given this prayer of Mary as a penance So lots and lots of people, I don't know if I've done this in past years, but it seems to me I've assigned this as a penance to many penitents because it seems to apply to everybody. When people come and they confess their pride, or they confess that they have, you know, been arrogant, that they've reacted badly, then I can say, well, pray the Magnificat, because you're acknowledging the Lord's humbling you, you're coming to confession, you can be humble. When people come to confession and they sit, they're so lowly, they feel so bad about what they've done, and they're having a difficulty in their faith, they're trying to trust in the Lord, I give them this prayer. Oh, let your soul give praise to God, and recognize that He lifts up the lowly. So maybe I've even given it to that as a penance to some of you. But now the difficulty is a lot of people don't know this prayer. So if I say to a penitent, well, for your penance, they pray one time the Magnificat, and they say, what? Then I have to explain, or maybe I change it, you know, and say three Hail Marys. Because if people don't know this, then it's to their loss. So a lot of people bring phones into the confessional now, and they read their act of contrition from their phone or from their gadget. Then I can say, well, look up the Magnificat and pray it. You know, younger people, it's easy to make that assignment because they immediately go to their Google or whatever app they're on, and they can in 2 seconds they've got the Magnificat on their phone. Anyway, the point is this prayer. The point I'm trying to make here is that this is a great prayer for anybody, a great prayer to pray. So I encourage you to take a few moments today, especially, to pray this prayer. Anyone who prays the liturgy, the hours, prays this canticle every day in the evening prayer. The church really encourages us to pray this prayer every day, the Magnificat. Or in some people pronounce it, the another Latin pronunciation, Magnificat. You might have heard that. But usually people say Magnificat. Anyway, Mary's canticle of praise of God. It's the canticle of someone who is grateful, someone who acknowledges having received a great gift, more than words can express. It's the canticle of someone who recognizes how God lifts up the lowly and lowers the humbles the proud. It's a great hymn of all the unknowing, all the poor who belong to the Lord.